I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's another hour right here of Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. If you miss any part of the program, you can always download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Also, any of the other shows during the day on The Zone Sports Network as well. DJ and PK in the morning, Jake and Ben at 10 to noon, Hans and Scotty noon to 3, and then Unrivaled. Boom. All found. Just go to, you can also download the KSL Sports app. Get all the podcasts there as well. Scott, the NCAA, starting things off this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff they're trying to get done when it comes to their new constitution. Now, the NCAA is, they're trying to figure this thing out. This is a fluid deal here. So we're going to start off the hours we always do with the cut. Let's jump right into it right here.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right. Right off the bat here, Scott. The type of reform that needs to happen in the NCAA is... Really, that there needs to be, there can't be any more pretending that this institution, that the NCAA is not just totally about earning dollars for themselves. And, you know, I don't know if they're trying to take it away from the athletes, but I certainly don't think, I think that the old school thinking has been, well, if the athletes end up getting money, then the amateurism goes away. Now, they were fine in making money themselves. Mark Emmert, and the NCAA are totally fine making money themselves. But a new constitution that they've just ratified states that the college athletes should not be paid directly by their schools for athletic participation. But this new constitution, Scott, leaves it up to each division to decide whether education-related benefits that athletes can receive from their schools, what those actually are, and how athletes can make money from the NIL stuff. So this has gotten...
It sounds like to me...
What is it?
Well, first of all, when you have like a new constitution, isn't that mean there's been some kind of revolution? Some kind of like...
It's happened, right?
Right. And hasn't that happened? Hasn't there been a revolt? And it's clear
well,
they've lost
now.
This battle. They've lost
Absolutely.
This war. And it's a new world that they're functioning in. I think a little bit of this sounds to me like, okay, in order for us to operate and function, we have to be... kind of absolved from any kind of potential making money, right? And so we just, I guess we're making that declaration. It's like, well, there may be ways that they could benefit from the scholastic side of this and some of the things that you could potentially get paid for, but we're not going to make that determination. We're basically washing our hands. We're absolved from this. Universities, everyone else, you figure this out. We're this... quasi like totally unbiased entity that oversees the great overseer of everything.
Right. Right. Which also means that they also don't, I mean, part of what we learned from the NIL stuff is that the schools and the NCAA, they have a certain amount they can say about what these athletes can and can't do. But a lot of times it's like you cannot – what they can't do is prevent these players from opportunities.
Right.
And that's been something we've seen is that we try to figure out what opportunities are, what the limit of opportunities are. And you've seen million-dollar deals for guys who, frankly, aren't even at the universities anymore where they got those million-dollar deals from those you know, I think it was Quinn Ewers. I don't know what the – oh, it was like a – was it a gaming company or it was like some – or no, it was a sports memorabilia company that signed him 3 years, $1.3 million for Quinn Ewers. And the guy ended up not going – I mean, he already transferred out of Ohio State, okay? And he had a $60,000 truck that he was given to use from the Ford dealership there. I don't know if you have to give that stuff back immediately upon leaving, but I'm sure there's something like that. But Quinn Ewers is making a business decision. All these guys are making business decisions. When I say these guys, I mean the ones who are at the top of their sport, where the market bears paying these people, men and women both. And you know what we've seen is that you've seen female athletes who are massive on social media platforms that are getting just as big a deals as a lot of these male athletes, or even more so. And good on them. And if the NCAA at any point stepped in and went, yeah, you can't do that, then that's a problem. And the U.S. Labor Department is looking at it going, what are you doing here? You're essentially not allowing these people to work. You know, I mean, you're not allowing these people to take advantage of the fact that the only thing that they have is their name and their image and their likeness that the NCAA has frankly used to the tune of billions of dollars.
You know, I just had something hit me. I wonder if I could actually go back and sue the NCAA.
You would, wouldn't you?
And say, well, no, because like when I was a student athlete, when I was enrolled in school and I was on scholarship, I was not allowed to work. A regular student could work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could not have a job. And so in that time, I was theirs. When I was in school and I was enrolled in school, I basically, if I lived on campus, they provided a place for me to live, and they provided me a small stipend. Believe me, it wasn't anything to write home about.
Actually, you had to write home about it because it wasn't enough money.
Right.
So you could get money sent to you.
If you lived off campus, you got a small amount of money that no way in the world could you live on that amount of money. There's no way. It was $320.
Right.
It was absolutely impossible.
That was mid-'80s money. We're talking – That's thousands of dollars now in 2022.
I guess, but it, you know, my
no, there are guys now who there are athletes now who we have to be reminded periodically, like, oh, it's actually hard sometimes the amount of money that they're, you know, that stipend isn't a lot, and the food sometimes is not, you know, it's not like the training table every day, you know, it's not the same amount of food. Sometimes when we had our eyes open to some Syracuse basketball players who were like, I've gone to sleep hungry before. That's a tough thing, right?
Well, when I was at Utah, there were players coming in with Tupperware dishes who were not on scholarship or whatever, that they go, we got dinner at night.
Right.
And they would go and just pile the, you know, as much dinner as they could stick in all these Tupperware dishes and put it in their backpacks.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
But just so they can have food to eat.
I guarantee it's crazy stuff. Even with the deal that BYU has in place with Built Bar, I guarantee there are guys who are like taking a few extras because they're like, yes, this is going in the drawer at home because there's going to be a moment where I crack the fridge open and there's not going to be maybe something there. This is not me trying to paint a picture of like some you know, put upon athlete out there who's not being able to benefit, and now the big bad NCAA is having to pay up. But it has felt like that for a lot of decades, where you have this billion-dollar entity, the NCAA tournament, which is one of the few things that the NCAA tournament can put its name on and it gets all the revenue from. That's a billion-dollar enterprise every year, okay, for the NCAA. Now, what the NCAA cannot regulate is these athletes on a personal level to be able to say you cannot – your name, image, and likeness, all those things that have come down from that deal that have been made with the NIL stuff. I'd love to see. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. The problem is that right now – You are going to see schools that are taking advantage of the fact that the NCAA is running around with its head cut off and doesn't totally know exactly what, how to deal with this thing. The second and third divisions of the NCAA, they're divvied up out of the 100% of funds that come into the NCAA, 90% of it are funneled to the Division I.
Do you know what the problem with the NCAA is? It's dead. It's really just dead. College athletics is not amateur sports. There's massive funding that it's a massive business.
The top end of college football is definitely no longer belongs to the NCAA.
The labor, which is the part of the labor, just has had the short end of the stick.
Yeah,
I mean, really, it's been kind of sweat, you know, slave labor is really what a lot of these players have been. They've basically had minimal wages, minimal compensation.
And then when they rise up, they get put right back down again. They're punished for the dumbest stuff.
How dare you do this?
Think about guys who lost opportunities because the NCAA sanctioned them or the school. Stuff that schools were sanctioned for, that now they're praised for doing, right? And being able to keep their operation going and keep this. And think about how the tune has changed with, you know, when we were at Pac-12 Media Day and we start talking to Devin Lloyd about working with us and doing some stuff, and Coach Whittingham was like, well, I'm going to walk away from this because I can't technically even be a part of this conversation. So, and I don't want to be either. Like, peace out. Like, you guys can figure this out, right? And that stuff, those coaches and the athletic department, on the one hand, there's the compliance part. You have to have a guru who overlooks all these things. Every deal that the Pac-12 that Utah makes, that a Utah player makes, has to run through that compliance. Every deal that BYU makes, etc., and they can shoot things down if it is not part of you know you're not going to have guys who are repping Budweiser right during the season. That's not a thing. And so it has to go along with the standards of what the university has. But I mean, other than that. If it's and it has to be market value. That was the funniest thing too, because everybody now goes, well, what's market value? Quinn Ewers is $1 million for going in and doing this thing.
I mean,
whatever the person's willing to pay.
You have head coaches making $10 million a year. Is that market value? I mean, really?
As soon as they're paid that, right?
Exactly. So yeah. So how do you determine what that market value really is? I mean, it is. It's what someone's willing to pay you. I just think it's so hard for the NCAA to kind of sit here and really be in existence and really have any kind of power. I mean, it feels like they just said, look, we still want to be in business. We still want to be a part of this. We've just got to be sure that our side of everything is not a money-making equity type of position. And we're still this independent, it's an academic, it's a student-athlete experience, and that comes first. But recognizing that these players are now going to be compensated and probably significantly in certain areas, and that any of that is okay at this time with some kind of, I don't know, limited understanding of, that it fair market value and all these different
things. There's a super small number, Scott, of people who are attending a university, Utah, BYU, Utah State, whomever, even the big ones, Alabama. From the football side of things, there's a very small number who are going to be making their living exclusively off of football for the rest of their lives, or basketball, right? It's a pretty small number in comparison with the number of athletes that are at a university. So having the fact that that this is an institution that is there to serve as an academic institution, number one, but make sure that those athletes that are going to be making their living as the athlete, that while you are taking advantage of making money off of that athlete, whether at your school, that you carve something out for them. This is what this deal is here for. Because the people who are there getting full scholarships and going to these schools, it's a massive benefit for them to play those sports and to get that education and to go on and do those amazing things. The NCAA has done those ads forever, where they say, hey, there's 200,000 athletes, NCAA athletes across the country, and 98.5% of us are going to go pro in something other than the sport that we play.
Right.
And that's dang true. And that 1.5%, actually helps provide so much money for this institution, the NCAA, that they have had to make an exception for all of these players.
It feels like to me the NCAA, with this declaration or clarification or new constitution,
it's a constitution,
whatever it is, feels like it's really just the beginning. And it'll be interesting to find out where this ends up and how this ultimately evolves. And they've recognized that this is going to be something, this is a moving target, and how we operate and what we do and what we focus on will be something that looks very different from what it's been.
Well, what they've been,
and
what they've been trying to do,
that's just going to continue to evolve over time.
What they've been trying to do is convince everybody that college athletics is wholly different from professional sports. But just looking at it from the outside, of course it doesn't look like that. Of course it looks like a professional sport. A bunch of money being made off of TV deals, which is what professional sports is. End of story. The players getting paid a bunch of money also, that's a part of it as well. But when you have people at the top, think about the direction that college football has gone for years.
The transfer portal is also another one.
These are all pieces to this puzzle of the NCAA looking like now. I don't know what the future of the NCAA is going to look like. They're going to meet every week for the next 7 months to try to figure out why they still matter. That's what they're meeting about, basically.
I think
Mark Emmert's meeting with that group every week for the next 7 months to go, how can we be relevant still? Because currently we have no value other than bringing in that billions of dollars or that $1 billion to this quote-unquote not-for-profit, you know, situation.
And I think they're dead. I think they just don't know it. I really do. I think it's – this is this whole landscape's changed.
Would
it
be a problem?
I think it's changed. I think it changed a long, long time ago. I just think someone turned the light switch on and everyone said, "Oh, wow, this is what's going on."
When the NCAA stopped handing out a men's or just a football national championship officially, yeah. When was that? I mean, who knows? Because they've been handing out AP. Or Writers Association national championships for the past five decades. But the NCAA at the other divisions hands out a national championship from the NCAA. That wooden placard with the NCAA on it, national champion. But now think about what the college football version of that is. It has nothing to do with the NCAA. It's divorced from it except for that it probably throws it a bone a little bit during those things. But the real money makers and all that are not the NCAA. It's the advertisers. It's the college football playoff committee. It's the college football playoff trust. All these things that are part of this that have nothing to do with the NCAA. Basketball is going to go the same way. It's the only thing they're clinging onto for dear life. And everything else really relies on those big sports to funnel that money toward them.
Well, so you have to wonder what will happen with basketball with the NIL, and you have the. I mean, these kids are going to get shoe deals. They're going to get. I mean, it's going to be.
I hope so.
It's going to be crazy.
What about those second tier and third tier sports or the Olympic level sports that they actually cost a lot more money than they actually bring in? What's going to happen to those? Because at some point it's going to be hard to, justify those sports, and that's what BYU is dealing with all the time. Donate, please donate, alumni, please donate. Utah does the same thing. Please, can you help out these smaller sports?
Well, they have lacrosse, and it's basically funded by somebody who wanted lacrosse.
Yes,
big
by a billionaire.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. I just hope these athletes get what they really deserve. And I think before we said that we assumed that that those scholarships were worth it. We were told the lie that it was worth it. And the people who are actually receiving those scholarships, yourself included, Scott, I think people looked at and they went, "Oh no, you aren't living this lap of luxury." It's not until after things take off. All right. You've worked your tail off. Speaking of money, you've worked your tail off. Your retirement should be family and fun, not work and worry. Go to retireteton.com/radio. Get a complimentary retirement ascent plan from Teton Wealth Group. That's retireteton.com/radio. We'll come back. We're going to discuss a little bit about the new hire at the University of Utah. One of Scott's former teammates, he's being onboarded today. going through the same thing you do when you get hired at a new, at a new job, doing the whole HR procedure, going through getting your new badge. We're hoping to get Luther Ellis on tomorrow on the program. In the meantime, we'll talk a little bit about what it means to hire these former players into a program at these positions, as these position coaches. More to go right here. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone Sports Network.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.